Welcome to the Financial Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how to build your practice from startup to scale up while being the kind of coach your clients crave. Finally, a podcast for financial coaches. Here are your hosts, Maria Casillas and Cody Sizemore.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Financial Coaches Podcast. We are here for another week, another discussion, and just another opportunity to hopefully provide some new insights and information to you guys. We appreciate you tuning in today and look forward to connecting with you, hopefully, in the Financial Coaches Podcast by New Money Habits. It's the Facebook group that we have. It's free to join. We invite you to do that today. Go ahead, hit pause if you'd like. And come on right back. Cody, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
Happy to hear it. I'm really good today. Thank you. I wanted to talk with you about something because I know that you are kind of like an all-in type of person. I mean, any of our every weekers who have heard us for any amount of time know that you are like, when you set a goal, you are 100% in.
Now, what makes you say that?
Well, I mean, you've done 75 hard, like 75 times. You decided that you didn't have enough of a challenge for your spirit, so you needed to ruck a marathon. I'm trying to think of what else some of the examples are, but like those are along the, oh, I know.
Yeah.
The fact that you wanted to not just, you know, increase your business by like 12% or 28%, but you're like, I want to double and a half what I did the year before. That kind of stuff. That's what I'm referencing here.
Okay,
do you have any others you want to add to it?
Fair enough.
So you're not going to fight me on that idea?
No, okay. I'll give this one to you.
Okay. So with that being said, I'm curious if you think there's any validity to this idea. And if you don't, that's okay. That's what a discussion's all about. But I once heard about the power of 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that ultimately is referring to is that, you know, sometimes psychologically, behaviorally, emotionally, it's difficult to just either give something up 100% or make a 100% shift in something. And so there's this idea that if you just give yourself permission to do 10%, it at least gets you started. Because sometimes the fear of 100% is enough to be daunting and make us not even start in the first place. So I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts about that initially?
I think that so this is going to sound weird given
I doubt it.
The type of person I am.
Okay.
I do see a lot of value in that.
Okay.
I do. Yes.
And what do you see that is valuable about it?
Well, so I forgot who this was, but I remember I was like, you know, just kind of scrolling through like either YouTube or TikTok or something like that. And there is this guy who is talking about, he's like a personal trainer or like a fitness coach of some sort. And he said that one thing that he found was, is that like, if you were to, you know, work with someone and you give them like this all in, like super strict and intense plan, that the level of success with that is usually lower. You know, like you'll have your people who do go through and they come through it, but the majority of people don't. So he said, you know, one thing that he started doing was that if he found that it was that type of person, he would actually just tell people to go to the gym and just spend 5 minutes at the gym.
I read that same thing somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's in a book.
I think it's in a book. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, just spend 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking.
Maybe Atomic Habits or something like that.
I don't know. It was Atomic Habits.
I think it was.
Okay. Yeah. But what he found was, is that like just committing to the 5 minutes was enough to get them to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then while they're at the gym, they're like, well, I put on all these clothes. I drove 15 minutes down the road. I'm at the gym now.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well just be here for 20 or 30 or more.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact of like, hey, just commit to 5 minutes. That was enough to get them to get the ball rolling, you know? So yeah. I think that there is a lot of value in it.
Okay. So in that sense, it was to get over the hump of starting, and then mm-hmm. it kind of fed into that emotional, I've already done all this, I might as well keep going.
Right.
That effect. Okay. So I'm going to share a story, if I may, about somebody who wasn't actually a client of mine, but I think that this story paints perfectly where this can actually work for some of our clients. And so hopefully our listeners can hear that and be able to apply it. So you may or may not know of a money program that suggests that, you know, you have $1,000 in a savings account, no more than that. Just like, that's it, if you have any debt hanging around. So mm-hmm. I about a year ago went to a live event. I highly suggest people go to live events now that they're back up and live. But I went to a live event and I carpooled with somebody who also carpooled with somebody else. And the only reason that that's important is because it shows you that the degree of how I knew this person was nil. Like I didn't even know her at all. But she was sharing with me that she had recently hired a financial coach. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how is that going? She goes, I really don't like it. Oh, well, okay. What do you not like? Well, it turns out that this particular coach subscribed to the idea of you've got to not have any extra money sitting around if you have any extra debt. So she explained to me, I have this $10,000 sitting in a savings account. I really don't want to, you know, put all of like $9,000 of that towards this debt. I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't understand why he's asking me to do that. And so we did talk a little bit about, you know, that it's supposed to get that emotional high and it gets you the momentum going. But she didn't seem to have that emotional high. And so we just kind of left. I let it go for a little bit. Well, at lunch at this event, I overheard her talking to somebody else. It wasn't even talking to me. I was eavesdropping, essentially. Mm-hmm. But she was telling somebody about how she had just gotten out of this really gross marriage. And this man had been pretty abusive and dot, 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 dot. So in the car ride on the way back, I was just curious. And I said, I mean, I didn't say, hey, I was eavesdropping earlier. But I did say that I overheard. I mean, I was literally sitting next to her. So she just wasn't talking yeah. to me. So I said, I overheard you mention that, you know, you recently got out of a marriage. May I ask you, how long has it been since you've been divorced? And she's like, oh, well, it's only been like 6 months. Okay. So after a little bit more prodding, we realized that she was ultimately super scared of getting rid of this $10,000 because that was all she had. And she was so used to not having to basically rely on herself that she needed that extra cushion to feel good about it. So that's why she wasn't getting that warm, fuzzy feeling when it came to, oh, I'm excited about paying off this debt, because it wasn't enough to pay off her debt completely. And then it also left her feeling very, I guess, vulnerable in that moment. Because like, what yeah. happens if, right?
Yeah.
And so just for fun, I asked her, let me ask you, how would you feel about getting rid of $900 of that money? Or $100? Oh, I'm sorry. I said $100. No, I said 900 because it was 10% of the 9,000 that her coach was asking her to bring over. And she's like, you know, I mean, that would leave me with I'm not going to do the math in my head, but then the amount that would be left over, it would have been 9,100, right? Yeah. So yep. like, that would leave me with the $9,100 that I want to have. It's like, I think I'd be okay with that. And so right there in the car, we kind of devised a plan for her to each month just use 10% of what was left in that savings account to put towards the debt. And what ultimately happened, Cody, was that even after 6 solid months of doing that, she would have a significant amount still left in her savings account, even if she never added anything more to it. And she would have paid off probably $4,000 or $5,000 of that debt. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is that in that 6 months, not only will it have bought her 6 months of being more on her own, but it also would have given her the opportunity to see some of that debt go down. And if that is going to get her excited, now she's able to actually get excited about it. Whereas before, the fear was overtaking that potential excitement. And so I thought, you know what? I think that that really does say something. Now, at the end of that 6 months, if she decided, you know what, this is great, I can do this on $1,000, I've got this extra confidence about myself, now she can lump sum, drop the rest of it over there. But she didn't have to, and she was still making progress, which is way different than the quote-unquote progress she was making with this coach, because there was such resistance that she wasn't even going to start.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's a really, really good example of how it's really important to be in tune with the person's situation and also mm-hmm. their relationship with money, because mm-hmm. that money was not there just sitting there in her eyes. That was her security.
Yeah.
You know, and if she got out of a marriage, any type of marriage in general, you know, like someone would want to feel like they can be stable mm-hmm. on their own. Like they mm-hmm. have that security, but especially if it was, they got out of a marriage that was abusive or toxic mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. So this is a perfect example of how personal finance is personal.
Yeah.
And while there are good frameworks out there that, you know, are decent, to kind of like, use as like a frame of reference, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that like every single person should do things exactly the same way, you know? Yeah. So that's really, really important. And I also think it's cool too, because while she was doing that, she was, I'm sure of course that when she was trying to pay off this debt as well, it wasn't just that she was pulling from savings to pay off the debt. She was also mm-hmm. probably, you know, cash flowing things as well on a month to month basis too.
So, I don't know. I didn't work with her, so I truly don't know. But you're probably right. If that person who she was working with subscribed to that, then probably yes.
Yeah. And even like if you were to go that route, she would have had consistent months of seeing good progress mm-hmm. Over a long period of time, right, as compared to 1 month where she saw a lot of progress and then the next month feel like, oh, well, why can't every month be like that?
Right. Yes. You know? And that's where it kind of sets up that all or nothing. Yes. Yeah.
Kind of lose that, that traction that she was building, you know? So, I think that even just with that being said, like it might be a good approach for people who want to pay off their debt using their savings in that way to mm-hmm. do it in a 10% kind of approach. And then, you know, obviously like have like a base level, like, hey, like this is where I want my savings to be at no matter what. So I'll do 10% down until I hit that number. And then once that number's hit, then I can just fully go towards the other, you know, just cash flowing things on a month-to-month basis, you know?
Yeah. That's another great way to apply it for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could do it with really any behavior change. If you want to, you know, cut out 1,000 calories a day, then you can start with cutting out 100 calories a day. You know, just those are the types of things that when you, I think the possibilities are endless when you really sit down and think about it. And it really starts to go, okay, as long as we are doing this consistently, we're probably going to end up with better results than the person who does all of it all at once and then completely rebounds. Because it was like you mentioned at the beginning that there are those people who are like, I am going to do this, like the ones at the gym, for example, that super mm-hmm. strict plan. And there are a few percentage of those who will continue to just stick with that new lifestyle. But even the ones who complete it, there is a large percentage that will rebound because they weren't doing it for the sake of actually changing anything in their routine or their lives. They were doing it for the sake of the thrill, for the sake of just saying that they could do it, you know, just that, just the challenge of all of it. That's where I think a lot of thrill seekers find that excitement is in the challenge itself. And so once they go back, they're like, oh, well, I did that. I'm all good. Now back to Twinkies at night. Right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's a really good point. And that's even something that I've had to overcome with like my own health journey. You know, because at first it was all about the thrill, mm-hmm. you know, and just being able to say like, hey, I did this. And I had some of those back and forth kind of times, you know. But now that I've been doing it for 2.5 years now, now it's become more of like a, okay, let's just be more consistent with this overall, you know?
Yeah.
Still go all in from time to time, but definitely it's like a mix of like the all in and the 10% kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's good, you know, like mm-hmm. not being all in on the all in approach can sometimes.
Right. And I was just going to say that it's not an either or, it's a this and. So mm-hmm. you can be all in on the 10%. So yes, maybe the plan itself looks on paper like it's 10%, but the attitude that you bring to it is 100% and you're all right. in on that particular thing. So yeah, there's definitely a good, healthy mix there, I think.
Yep. Yep.
Oh. One other approach, I mean, one other place I'd like to take this before we close up is this, the idea of like, as our coaches are listening to this, we talked at the beginning of the year about, you know, what they want their business to look like and how that looks. And I think that's actually what made me want to bring this up to you before, was just like, okay, we know how incredible you are doing and how the big amounts, like you wanted a 3x your business. What about the people who want to see a consistent increase? Is it okay to just choose this smaller amount? Is that going to be the thing that gets you to say, I'm willing to do the few things that I need to do differently in order to see that consistent 10% increase? And I think, yes, I think that's actually a really good place to start. So if you're listening today and you're like, how do I want to, if I want something that's measurable, how do I measure the increase? And just go with 10%. And if you didn't make anything last year because you just started or because it was a bad year, maybe you don't say I need 10% at zero, because that's still zero right. for all of the mathematicians out there. But maybe you figure out what was it that you did and what do you want to do differently, and then own the 10% of that. So if you know that, you know, you would like to make sure that you're posting 10 times a day, now you bring that down to 1x a day, so on and so forth. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know if you have anything to add to that at all, but that was the last direction I wanted to take that 10% for our listeners today.
Yeah. I think that's a really good approach, because sometimes, people can get too consumed with those financial goals as for their business. Mm-hmm. And if they're not careful, it can actually be what they're going after more than actually like why they're doing it in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
So, having that 10% approach, I think, is a good kind of like fail safe for that, to where it's like, hey, like, yeah, like we're wanting to grow, but we're not making it such a emphasis that it's going to take over the reason why we're coaching, as compared to what we got into it for, you know?
Yeah. Now, I seem to remember a post that you did pretty recently, actually, about mm-hmm. that very thing. And mm-hmm. I didn't think about that when I was talking about this, but you set it up so nicely that I'm going to bring you into it. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing that and being like, he's absolutely on target with that, that you were focused, and please certainly correct me if I'm misquoting, but you mm-hmm. were focusing more on that growth and the number you were trying to reach, rather than the whole reason you got into it in the first place, which was to help as many people actually find financial freedom and create that for themselves and their lives. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't get me wrong. It's not like I completely abandoned the initial.
Sure.
Line, right. Like
nor did your post suggest such.
Yeah.
Things,
just, yeah. Like it was always there. It was just, I just kind of like had a moment with myself one night over the last couple of weeks to where I was just like, I need to lean back into that more, you know, like there's just, it's still there, but I'm not feeding it as much as I used to, or as much as I need to, you know?
Yeah. And it wasn't driving you as strongly as it had in the past.
Correct.
And you wanted to see a shift back to that being a primary driver.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I kind of said that. I was like, hey, if you're not careful, that can happen. Now, it took me, you know, almost 4 years for that to happen. And luckily it didn't go completely off the rails. You know, I think I caught it actually pretty early, to be honest with you. But yeah, if you're not careful and you're really focused on that growth, it can consume you and it can take you away from the reason why you started in the first place. And I don't even think it's just, you know, in the coaching realm. That's a pretty common thing with any entrepreneur, I feel, you know, so yeah.
I agree.
Yep. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for bringing this conversation to the table, because I think it's a big one, you know, and I think it's important. Yeah. So we also want to say thank you to you guys for listening. Always love shouting out our every weekers. So we just appreciate you, and we hope that you get value from this show. And if you do, you know, leave us a rating, leave us a review, share it with a friend, all that good stuff. And we will just continue to shout you guys out. Maybe even drop us a line, you know, like if you are an every weeker, post in the Facebook group and be like, hey, I'm an every weeker to the podcast. Give me a shout out. We would love to do that, you know, so we'll shout you out for sure. But yeah, we appreciate you guys. So you guys enjoy the rest of your week, and we will see you next week. Thanks, guys.
That's good. See you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Financial Coaches Podcast, brought to you by New Money Habits and Sizemore Financial Coaching. Submit your questions to our hosts by emailing podcast@newmoneyhabits.com. Be sure to subscribe to be notified of future episodes and join our growing group of like-minded coaches on Facebook. And until next time, happy coaching. Music provided by Summer School.